So, these are our stories, our histories. And so I have the story stone, which we will take turns holding at some point today. Now, along with that, we're going to find out that we're already storytellers. I'm going to go around the circle and just interview each of you very briefly to get an idea of what you're here for today. Because I've only been at Holden for a year. I mean a week. Just seems like a year. I know that a lot of you can only come tonight or tomorrow or the next day. And if I see you 4 days in a row, I'm going to be in heaven. But let's make sure we get something done today. So, the first thing we're going to do is pass the story stone and say your name and tell me what you'd like to get out of this 45 minutes which we're going to be together today. Because listen, you folks that don't think you know that you're good, well, this is what you're going to find out. You're going to know what you know and know that you know it. I told Jereen that I heard this from the guy who played Little Leave It to Beaver in California when my sister brought me to this acting class, and he was trying to tell us that we needed to forget about our inadequacy, the things that weren't right, the things we didn't know, the stuff we couldn't do, and just remember we know more than we think we know, and that our job in class was to discover what we already know. And that's what I'm telling you too, because you all are stories, each of you. I can just look at you and I know. And tonight we're going to find out what those stories are. First of all, you find out by maybe associating something with your name. For example, when I met Jereen, I thought that I was sure that my brother Paul was calling her by the wrong name. I thought it was Janine. Because the Jereen that I know was somebody who saved Paul's life, my brother Paul's life, way back when he was 4 years old. Were you four, Paul? Was that it?
I was not quite two, but thank
you. Oh, you were not quite two. Okay, you see. Well, he's always been kind of precocious, you know. Anyway, we were living in Clear Lake, Iowa. And I remember this well because he was laughing and eating apples. They started choking. And a piece of an apple went down his trachea. And he couldn't get it up. And he was wheezing, and it seemed like one of his lungs was collapsing. So I'm not sure what all the steps were, but my dad had to drive to Rochester to the Mayo Clinic with him. And my mom had Mariolette, a baby, plus three other kids to take care of. So the social worker who lived in the town that we were in by the name of Jereen came along and held Paul while Father drove that car to Rochester, Minnesota. And my mother, this is how I remember it, my mother started knitting something that day. And I got the bag of knitting that she had left when she died. And guess what? I found the little piece of blue, baby blue knitting that she had started that day. And I don't think she could ever return to it. It was still there, half done. Now that's a family story. And it's just one that, you know, we have never told it before, have we, Paul?
I don't think so.
No. So there. And it's the kind of story that means a great deal to the people you love. So, thinking about that today, and because we are in a bit of a hurry and we have a nice crowd today, I'm going to suggest we do a little warm-up, and then we'll share the story that we're going to tell to each other. And this warm-up is about, yes, what everybody came here to do. At least that's what I heard you say. You wanted to listen, right? We're going to learn how to listen. This is called active listening. And to do this, we're going to all be doing this at the same time, so no one's going to feel like they're being watched, except by your partner. And your partner has to watch very carefully. Not only watch, but feel with you, because it will be your partner's job to do what you are doing. You see? All right, I am listening, looking, and feeling Eileen. She's listening and looking and feeling Marin. So what's happening is we're passing our name, our story of our name, and we're telling a story, not the whole story in words. Some of it is unspoken. I mean, Eileen is saying, I'm a little anxious, right? And I'm saying, I'm a little anxious too, in my own way. We're both anxious, but we're saying it in a little different way. Right, that's a story, that's a start. Are you starting to ask a question about that? Like, are you wondering, well, why are they anxious? Huh? Or maybe you guess, oh, I bet I know why they're anxious. So now you're going to listen to see either that you're right about what you think, or to find out something you don't know, right? And that's what you are doing at the very first part of a story. You're getting the interest of your listeners. You're getting them involved because they want to find that out. All right, now let's go on a little bit farther. But after you say your name to each other, because you do have to introduce yourselves anyway, you can think about one thing that happened today that you found interesting. All right, here's the one thing I'm going to tell you. Two pairs of garden gloves crossed in the middle of the path inside of the garden. Okay, now you do it back to me.
Two pairs of the garden gloves crossed inside of the garden path.
Very good. See? She got it. It's not exactly the way I did it, because it's her and not me, right? But she got the first sentence of my story. All right? Now, what you're going to do is, just for the first minute, I want you to say your name to each other, okay? And we'll do it again, you and me too, all right? And then when you're through, turn around and then we'll go to the next part. All right, okay, now that you've done that, the next thing is going to be a little bit harder. What you're going to do is read the mind of your partner. And now this is how it works. You pick a topic you both know something about, right? For example, what we had to eat tonight, or what's going to happen next. All right, I will demonstrate. And I'm going to start telling Eileen this little story. And as she listens, she's going to fill in the words, because she knows what I am going to
say.
Exactly! That's right. See, she's already doing it. All right, look at me now.
Okay.
And I'll start. Tonight, you say it with me. Tonight, we are going to have fun. Telling. And you take it now. Telling what?
Our
stories. Right. Very good. See, she's reading my mind. All right. Now, why is this an important step? Because you need to pay that close attention to what the other person is saying and thinking in order to do their story really well. And you are about to learn the stories your partner is going to tell. They'll be very short. So there won't be a long story to remember. But you will remember it because you are thinking like them, you see. And it will be easy to do. All right.
That's what she says.
That's what I say, because I've done it so many times before. I know it's true. All right, now, the final thing that you do, after you do this little warm-up, you go ahead, and I won't time you or anything, but it's only want you to do a 1.5-minute story, so it'll be about as long as it takes to tell about something that happens to you on the way from Holden to the lake, something like that. And let's think about a topic now. What are some things that you think would be good stories that you might like to share with someone you love? How about the first time I met your father or mother? Or what about, the first memory that I have is, or when I, before I came to Holden Village, I thought, but now I know. Or, got any other ideas of topics you'd like to consider for your story?
Well, children always like to hear stories about when they were little, before early memories of, that perhaps they don't carry the memory, but they like the story told, so they now have the memory to carry with.
The day you were born, that is a good story. How about why I named you? Okay, do you think you have enough now? Well, let's do it. Now, if you have told your story to your partner, and I think I can tell by the looks on your faces that some of you have, remember the responsibility is that your partner has to tell your story back to you.
Oh.
All right. So do that. If you haven't done that yet, do it. Because remember, this is about listening. You all wanted to listen. So this is what it's about. And you tell that story back as you heard it. And then your partner gets to decide, well, I like that part of what I heard, and I think I'd like to change this part a little bit, or whatever. You can edit your story this way. All right? Okay. I want to be sure we have enough time to share our stories with each other, because it's so much fun. And this is the final thing about storytelling, is that we learn so much from hearing other people's stories. It's really a gift that, and it's generous of you all to do this with each other. Now, in this process, you get to support your partner. This is how it works. Here's a storyteller's chair. And the storyteller sits in a chair. You don't have to stand up or anything. You can just sit down, as long as we can hear you. And the you will tell your partner's story like you've been practicing. Now your partner, Eileen thinks this is funny. And it is funny, and it's a lot of fun too. Anyway, she'll stand behind me. Can you stand up? Okay. She'll stand behind me, and I'll start, because I'm making you do this, I should do it too. I'm gonna tell Eileen's story as if I am Eileen, right? And I'm going to try to convince you that I'm Eileen as I'm telling it, all right?
Okay.
I don't have her hat or anything, and I'm still gonna do it. Okay. And I'm holding the storytelling stone just to keep me grounded. All right. Well, can I tell you a funny thing about my father? One day, he called me and my sister into the bathroom. And he said, you know, we're using too much toilet paper. And then he tore off two pieces of toilet paper and folded it over and gave it to me and said, that's how much we should use. You can clap. Sit down and tell my story.
Oh,
she gets right even here. Now. She gets to tell my story. Here, you want to hold this? Is it too heavy?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Oh, dear. Let's see. Well, my father didn't mind buying toilet paper, but he didn't like to pay for motels. So we had a nice big car, and we drove across the country. He had a board and had a hole in one side. And when we were driving, he had it on top of the car, but when we weren't, he put it in the back of the car, and my sister and two brothers slept on the board, and myself and my cousin slept under it. And every so often we would stand up and look through the hole, and we'd see. You could see for miles in that country, and we would see all the storms and everything. And let's see, then what else?
My little sister Elise was saying, tell me a story.
Oh, and this is why I started telling stories, because I would tell her stories, and this is how I got started telling stories. So good things happen in odd times.
In the pit.
In the pit. It's called the pit.
And that's our story. And you said you didn't think you could tell us.
Well, I don't think I did a very good job of it.
You did a great job. All right, it's somebody else's turn. Now you do get to listen.
Oh, good.
Who wants to go next? How about you guys?
Sure. My father was a wonderful gardener, and he loved to have his vegetable garden, and every year it would get bigger and bigger. And my mother always aspired to have pumpkins, and my father wasn't so keen on that because pumpkins tend to take over the whole garden and just go crazy. But one year he relented, and he allowed mother to have her pumpkin patch. And so she got some wisdom from somewhere, I'm not sure where, that if you pulled the leaves off all the pumpkin vines, that they would grow more fruitful. And she took that to heart and proceeded to pull every leaf off that pumpkin vine, which doesn't do so well, as you might know, since there's no source of energy to get into that pumpkin. So ended up with one lame little pumpkin in the house. And my mother never did become much of a gardener after that.
That's great. That's great.
What you like for topic that is helpful is if you could just introduce yourself as you start. Now you're going to say, hi, my name is Kevin.
Hi, my name is Kevin. And we left Ohio when I was really young. So my only memory of it is that my father and mother bought this new Rambler house. And it was their first house, and they were very excited about it. So Dad planted a garden. And in that garden, he put 4 tomato plants. One for my oldest brother, my 2 younger sisters, and me. I was the youngest. I was about 3 or 4. And Dad said, we're going to have a contest. And whoever gets the most tomatoes from their tomato plant is going to win a trip to the toy store or something really cool like that. So I, being really young, decided this is so cool. So we watered them and we took care of them and they were very careful about them. And Dad noticed something really strange about these tomato plants, something he'd never seen before, is that only one of them was producing tomatoes. The rest of them had no tomatoes at all. But Dad finally figured it out that one of us was picking the tomatoes off all the other plants. And that one of us was me, and that's how I started my life of crime.
My name is David, and today I saw a beautiful yellow small flower when I was hiking. Now, the hiking trip that we just did, we came over Lyman Lake, where we had so much snow this morning, and we had 3 days before that of pouring rain, but the snow today just about did us in, and all we could think of was that we needed to find a warm place, so we came on down to Holden Village, and that's why I'm here tonight. However, usually I take the boat and go up and hike, get off at the Prince Creek before Lucerne, and hike into Stehekin. And in Stehekin, there's a wonderful bakery, and I always get cinnamon rolls and bring cinnamon rolls back when I come back from my hiking trips. And I'm really into, with my job and with my interests, music and photography. And I'm actually an artist with, have a number of large pictures that in a gallery. And I'm also very much interested in the music in Austin, Texas, where my company has part of the music scene in Austin, Texas. And this kind of describes a little bit about who I am and why I'm here tonight at Holden Village.
Wow. Okay, before I sit down, she told the story way better than I did.
Okay.
Well, what's your name?
Can you introduce yourself now? Your name is Clary.
Hello, my name is Clary Marie, and I'm going to tell you the story of how I got my name. I was given my name from my 2 grandmothers. Both of my grandmothers were named Clara Matilda. And I was given my name from both of those grandmothers, but they named me Clary Marie. And she and that was actually the end of that story. But I just want to say we kind of cheated a little bit because I was so fascinated with Clary Marie that I just started asking her all these questions and we just went way outside of the game. I mean, we no longer practice the game whatsoever. I found out so many things about her, about how she has a love of photography and takes pictures of plants and how she came out to Holden Village to do some volunteer work, and that she volunteers half the time so that she can take the other half to wander around and do some picture taking. I also found out that she met Dennis here seven years ago, just by chance, and that he's from Minnesota and that she's from Texas, and now they're together and they live half their year in Texas and half of their year in Minnesota. And so I found out a lot of stuff about her, and I'm not going to tell the whole story.
I have a 33-year-old granddaughter and another younger granddaughter, both of which have a boy and a girl, great-grandchildren. So then we went back to the beginning, where these children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren came from. She had met her husband at a neighbor's house. He had come over with a friend. They were quite interested with each other, and he came and back and visited the same day. And then they got courted for 18 months. And then one day they went to visit a house that was being built, a new house. And he looked at her and said, "Why don't we buy this house and get married?" And they did.
Hi, my name is Doug. And, I guess I will start at the beginning. And I met my wife in Kenya when I was there working in the Peace Corps, and my wife was from Norway, and I met her on a blind date, and we ended up getting married in Bergen, Norway, about 20 months after we met, and we have lived together for many years, and we now have grandchildren, and I have a 2.5-year-old grandson that is quite precocious, and he, the other day when his mom was in the bathroom, he climbed up on a stool and he sliced a tomato, and he put the tomato slices in the toaster. But his mom caught him before it got toasted. So, getting down to grandchildren.
Something else to add, Pastor, you can give it to your husband if you want to.
Ladies first.
Oh. Don't forget to
a while ago that we talked.
Okay. I'm Jack, and when I was just a little boy, my mother had a restaurant down in Belltown in Seattle, and when I was just 5 years old, I would walk down to the docks with the Japanese fishermen. And they were all very nice to me, and they would give me a little line and a, what did they,
sinker.
And they put a sinker on there, and we would fish for shiner fish. And they're about this big. And I just had such a good time. And there was a beat cop, a beat policeman, who'd walk up and down his beat, and he knew everybody on his beat, the shopkeepers and the restaurateurs and the families. And he was an Irishman. And he saw me there, and he said, "Johnny, what are you doing down here?" And I said, "Oh, I'm fishing." And he said, "Does your mother know that you're down here fishing?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "We'll see. Come with me." And so he had his baton, and he popped me on the bottom side and walked me down to my mother's restaurant. And he popped his head in the door and said, "Margie," because he knew everybody. You know, he knew my mother. "Margie, do you know Johnny's down here fishing?" And she said, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "All right, then." And he said, "Off you go." And he swatted me on the bottom. And this tells you how much times have changed since then.
Sure have.
My name is Natasha. I want to tell you a little story about my husband, to be. And we had been going together for about 4 or 5 months. And he said to me one night, "Let's go out to dinner tomorrow. And we'll go to this little Italian restaurant I know." So we went to the restaurant and sat there. And all of a sudden, he says, "Will you marry me?" And I was so taken back because I don't know, I wasn't ready for this. And I wasn't too sure if he was ready for this. So I said, "Excuse me for a moment." And I went into the ladies' restroom and shed tears. They've just poured down and because I really didn't know what to reply. So I came back and sat there and dabbed my eye a little bit with my dinner napkin and said, "Could we put this off for a while and just let me think about it?" Now, we're both Quakers, and we were up to Gold Bar.
Yep.
Gold Bar and the Wallace River, and we were going to go up to Wallace Falls. And this was a silent retreat. Neither one of us could speak. So anyhow, he liked to run ahead, and he ran up to the top of the falls, whatever. And I knew that he'd be coming back. So I took a twig and rode into the sand, "Yes." I had thought about it, and I put "yes." So he came down, and I took his hand and took him over by the where I'd inscribed into the sand, "Yes," and pointed. And he just popped up. But he couldn't talk. So he grabs me and hugs me and gives me a kiss. And as we're walking along, he jumps into the river. And that was the story of that. And the result is we were married.
I got a little taken into listening as we're supposed to be talking and didn't get as much of my story out as maybe I should have today. But we talked a bit about transitions and how transitions are those times in life where you're kind of heading one direction and suddenly something happens and you're heading another way. And it was 1983. And I'd just gone through a divorce and didn't really know if that was the right thing for me or the right place for me or the right decision to make or even what was coming next. And found myself at Holden Village during that and had a week here. And the combination of support and freedom that I found here was the right space I needed to be at that time and kind of helped me to get settled and kind of figure out what the next steps would be for me.
Great.
So you get a chance to do it, right?
Okay.
I'm mocked you. And I do like transitions. And there's transitions going on all the time. The big one happened 20-some years ago. My son was just born, and my daughter was 3 years old, and my job was not as forthcoming for me. And I thought, I need to make a change. And my loving wife drove across the state of Washington, found us a home. I quit my job, found a new job, a better job that took my passion and my love and my interest and integrity, and I was able to be on this path. And it's been a good path all along.
Thank you so much. Keep going. Pass it up. Raise your hand if you have an attitude.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the corner.
Oh, in the corner. Sure. Okay.
Oh, you're hoping to run out of time. Everybody's hoping to run out of time. I'm not thinking that's going
to
work.
No, it's not going to work. You're going to have to, everyone is going to have to share with us, because you're just too good.
I'm Carol. One of my first memories is of a toaster oven and a red velour couch. And I was fascinated by this toaster oven because it would produce food right out of this shiny little box on the counter, but I couldn't see it. So in front of the counter, or off to the side, there was a red velour couch. It wasn't a comfortable couch, it was scratchy on the skin. But I used to climb up it and then stand on the cushions and climb up the back and peer over, and I could see this lovely silver shiny box, and out of it would come my food. And I couldn't touch that box though. It wasn't for touching. It was just, it was a curious thing, and I used to just climb up there and look at it.
I'm Tobin, and one of my first memories, or my first memory, is of being in a very dark place. It was pitch black, with my eyes wide open and being surrounded by a hum of a motor. It was in the back of my parents' Volkswagen coming back from Tokyo from where we went for the weekend. And it's one of the most wonderful and warm and comforting memories of lying back there in that little compartment with my eyes wide open and it being pitch black. And sometimes I still experience that when I'm backpacking, being out in the pitch black and feeling very warm and surrounded by comfort. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful feeling.
Mm-hmm. How about right there, Sybil and her partner right there?
Because we're so short.
We admit the truth we mostly visited.
You didn't think you were telling stories?
My name is Sybil, and I first came to Holden when I was 13 with my parents and a youth group, with my family and a youth group. And I came again when I was 14 with the youth group without my family. And then I came, and I made friends during that time here. And then I came 10 years later, and there was somebody from 10 years before that is here now. And that's all
for you. Well, there's more.
I'm Florence, and the first time I came to Holden was not with Trevor, my son. It was with Angie, my daughter-in-law, and her friend. And it was a really exciting and interesting place, and I've really enjoyed getting to know this place. And ever since we've come back, and I've really had a good time.
I am Connie, and I have always been very politically active, and one of the things I remembered is the time that I was able to meet Ted Kennedy when he was in our town. It was before his brother was running for president, and it was a very small group, so we really got to speak with each other. My father was active in politics. He ran for office, and I was putting up posters, and so was the man I married putting up posters. My father didn't win, the other candidate won, but I met the man that I married, and for me there were two things that were very important, that he go to the Lutheran Church and that we were both politically in sync.
That's enough. Or should I tell the rest?
No.
That's enough.
Well, like some have already said, we spent a lot of time visiting and found that we had some things that we share that are very good.
Not going to be shared with us.
No.
Okay, don't forget to introduce yourself.
Yeah,
now.
My name is Jereen.
Jereen.
And my name was picked out because my father read it in a magazine. There's so much, I get, for me, I'm talking as Connie now.
Connie, wait to tell us about yourself.
No, but because I know some things about her, because I was in her class today, mm-hmm. so I can kind of mix all that in.
That's okay, sorry.
I know that she had her
children. I know
I had my children in Africa. Her son is very involved.
My son.
I can't do that. Anyway, you probably attended her class too. I'll end it. Her husband passed away when he was 49 years old after 6 months of battling cancer. And then we went
and on. I'm Connie now, and my husband died after 6 weeks battling cancer.
Oh.
So we share some things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You really do.
By the way, she got married again. I'm still looking.
I'm Diane, and at this age, memory isn't so good. Anyway, when I had my daughter, I wanted to give her a good name, a name that would really mean something for her. And so I thought about my two aunties who I admired and loved, and one was named Rena. That was a distinctive name. It was a name that not everyone else would have. There wouldn't be too many other little girls with that name. So she would have a name and would have something to live up to with this very dynamic person who would go out and do things that weren't really common for women to be doing those days. And so she was Rena, and but then, of course, I couldn't just forget about the other auntie, too. So I gave her the middle name Maria, which was for Mary, the quiet, unassuming one. And so she was Rena Maria.
And, sweet.
Was a good girl.
Well, my name is Viola, and after I heard Diane's story of how she named her child, I thought I'd tell mine. I had my son when I was living in Madagascar. So for his first name, we chose a name that we would like to have, and we chose his name Carl. But we also wanted something that tied to that place. So for his middle name, we chose the name Miha. And Miha, in that language, means becoming. And that name made perfect sense because he was just beginning and there were so many things he could become. Little did I know what they'd be at that point. So his name was Carl Miha, and that's also the initials of my father. Clarence Milton. Now, as time went by, Carl wasn't too keen on this middle name. It was a weird middle name and he didn't really like it. But as time went by, he came to appreciate that he'd been given that name that tied to his beginnings. And the name was appropriate, by the way, because when he finished college, he still didn't know what he was going to become. So actually, at that point in his life, he enjoyed his middle name, and it gave him an opportunity to tell about himself and to tell his story and where his life had begun.
Thank you all of you so much. This is just a tremendous treat. Thank you, all of you waiting outside to come in for best rooms. And sorry you